Bible to the book of Hebrews, chapter 10, verse 19. Hebrews 10, 19 to 25. Since I'm very far from this computer, I'll just be solemn. The full assurance of faith. Hebrews 10, verse 19. The full assurance of faith. Therefore, brothers, since we have confidence to enter the holy places by the blood of Jesus, by the new and living way that he opened for us through the curtain, that is, through his flesh, and since we have a great priest over the house of God, let us draw near with a true heart in full assurance of faith, with our hearts sprinkled clean from an evil conscience, and our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering, for he who promised is faithful. And let us consider how to stir up one another to love and good works, not neglecting to meet together as is the habit of some, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day drawing near. This is God's word. Amen. When you receive an invitation to a party or to a wedding, whether by word of mouth or formally with a card, basic information like venue and conditions for entering will be supplied on that card or from that word of mouth, that invitation. Now, the writer of Hebrews is inviting his readers to enter the most holy place. He is inviting his readers, and you and I who is reading this day, to enter into the most holy place. Now let me take you a little bit backwards. In chapter 9, we learn that the tent of worship had a thick curtain separating the holy place from the holy of holies, or the most holy place. So the tent then was divided into two, okay? First section was called the holy place, and the second section, the most holy place. Only the high priest entered the most holy place once per year to make sacrifices for his sin and the sins of the people he was representing. And that was once, on the Day of Atonement, once per year. He entered with animal blood and water to offer the sacrifice for the nation's sins. But in chapter 10, where we are, we learn that Jesus' perfect sacrifice removed the curtain, that barrier between the holy place and the most holy place. Jesus' once-off sacrifice is therefore an invitation to believers to enter into God's presence. And so we're looking at this theme: let us enter the holy place by the blood of Jesus. Here's an invitation to come and enter into the holy place. How? By the blood of Jesus. And under that theme, we're going to look at the confidence to enter. We're going to look at the condition for entering and finally the command to enter. According to the Old Testament, people didn't have a direct access into the most holy place or into the very presence of God. Now, priests would repeatedly offer animal sacrifices for their sins and the sins of the people they are representing. But animal sacrifices could not take away the sin of man. Therefore, people remained guilty, and priests constantly, perpetually, would make these sacrifices. People remained guilty before God. Look at verse 11. God did not desire such sacrifices. He had not taken pleasure in them, according to verse 8 and verse 9. Therefore, the blood of calves, the blood of goats, was merely a copy pointing to the original, yet to be fulfilled with the advent of Jesus Christ. But when Christ offered himself, and this is what we learn from the Bible, Christ did not organize some animal to offer, but when he offered himself, he became a single sacrifice for all time for those who are being sanctified. Jesus Christ has done what 10,000 animal sacrifice offered by the priests could not do. Jesus Christ has done what 10,000 of animal sacrifices offered by the priests could not do. Jesus is therefore our source of confidence to enter the most holy place. And it's interesting when you see what verse 19 is saying. It is not just entering, however, with confidence. And how do we come into the very presence of God with confidence? Jesus is our source of confidence to enter the most holy place. Now, the NIV says the most holy place. The ESV simply says the holy place. Now, what is this place? This was also called the Holy of Holies. It was a special place in the tabernacle, like I said, and by tabernacle I simply mean this portable tent before the construction of the temple. And this is where the presence of God was believed to dwell, in the most holy place. No Old Testament worshiper could have entered the Holy of Holies with confidence, not even the priests. With confidence, not even the priests. Remember that the tabernacle had a thick veil or curtain separating the holy place from the most holy place. Priests had access to enter the first section, the holy place, and make prayers there, and the high priest would enter the most holy place once per year on the Day of Atonement to make offerings, to make prayers, obviously for himself and the people that he is representing, according to Hebrews chapter 9, verse 11 to 12. And so we see this performance being done by the priests, but Jesus did not offer an animal sacrifice like did the priests. He was the prepared lamb of God, the perfect and the once-off sacrifice for the forgiveness of our sins. At Jesus' death on the cross, the gospel writers narrate to us that the curtain was torn from top to bottom. Jesus, therefore, grants to you and I who believe in him access into the very presence of God his Father. The question is, do you have confidence to come into the holy presence of God? Do you have confidence to come into the very presence of God? And what is your confidence to do so? Is it your theological education? What is your confidence to come into the very presence of God? Is it your hard work? It can't be anything other than the blood of Jesus Christ. That is our confidence to come into the very presence of God. What is the condition for entering? Now that we know the holy place, what it is, and now that we have this invitation to come into the very presence of God, what is the condition? Now, like I said, usually there are conditions for entering a party or a wedding venue. And the most important one is an invitation. It can be an oral invitation by word of mouth. It can be a written invitation. But there'll be details, conditions. In the same way, you and I have been invited to come and enter into the presence of God. What is the main condition here? Verse 19 again tells us. By the blood of Jesus. All we need is faith in Jesus because his blood has washed us clean. His blood has washed our hearts from evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. That's what verse 22 is telling us. Almost what the high priest would do on the Day of Atonement. You know, getting the blood of animal, whether it be calves or goats, with water, with hyssop and all that. And here we're being told, look at what Jesus Christ has done. Not the priest man, as in what the priest would do in the Old Testament, but the man Jesus. Look at what he has done. What a wonderful privilege we have to believe in Jesus. The one who is the great priest over the house of God. The one who sacrifices himself as a once of sacrifice. That if we believe in him, we can have this confidence to come before God, his Father. Simply to believe in him, obviously, brings eternal life. Look at Romans 10, verse 10. Simply to believe in Jesus Christ gives you and I access into the very presence of God. Now, the condition for entering the presence of God is not academic status. It is not, you know, professors in theology, a bachelor's in theology. That is not the condition for entering into the very presence of God. It is not racial status, or you must be a person of this tribe and not this tribe. That is not the condition for entering the very presence of God. But faith in Jesus Christ alone. Having met the condition, and that is faith in Jesus, gives us confidence to enter the Holy of Holies. Dear friend, you can't get crushed into the presence of God. Here we have an invitation for the believers to come and enter into the presence of God. Now, there are people who are good at get crushing. My wife and I, when we were thinking of the reception, we had in mind about 70 to 80 people, under 100. And we booked the place, which was our venue for this wedding reception, and to our surprise, there were 100 plus people. Get crushers. Some of them were our friends, some of them were family, but they crushed in. But it's okay. But what I see here is you may never get crushed into the presence of God. That we cannot do. Even the prophets could not just crash into the presence of God. Think about Moses. This is the man, this is the prophet who desires to see the glory of God. God says, no, man cannot see my face and live. Unless God makes a way for you to come into his presence, you cannot. Remember the burning bush? Moses wore the grounds on which you're stepping in now, its holy presence. So you see, unless God invites you into his presence, you may not just crash into his presence. Or we know people that died for not properly approaching God. Sons of Aaron, for instance, Nadab and Abihu, were killed by God in a dramatic fashion. Leviticus 10, 1 to 2. Uzzah erred by touching the ark and was killed by God. We can also think about Ananias and Sapphira, who died, for they lied, not to the apostles, but to the Holy Spirit. Texts like these teach us that there is a condition for entering into the holy presence of God. Faith in Jesus is our condition and confidence to enter into the presence of God. And remember, No sin is unforgiven if we believe in Jesus Christ. No sin. Let us therefore come to Jesus in prayer and confess our sins. Let us therefore come to Jesus in prayer and do so with confidence. And I have a big question here, according to verse 19. I ask myself, is this entering into the very presence of God with confidence when I come to him with this 1 minute prayer? Is this confidence in entering into the presence of God when I come to him, you know, to worship him while dozing? I ask myself, God, how am I entering your presence with confidence? Do you have confidence? How do you come into the very presence of God? Is it with confidence? Or you feel somehow it's a boring thing to do? That prayer that you and I have to make in our private prayers, is it with confidence? Or it's something that I've heard, you know, Christians, they pray, so at least to be a decent Christian, you need 5 minutes of prayer every morning when you wake up. 5 minutes of prayer, you know, before you sleep. Is it with confidence that we come into the presence of God? Because the last thing that we see, it is, yes, an invitation, an exhortation to enter into the presence of God, and it's almost a command to the believers. The author now exhorts, rather, commands his readers to draw near in full assurance. Look at verse 22. Based on what Christ has done, let us draw near with a true heart, in full assurance of faith, with our hearts sprinkled clean from an evil conscience. Look at what Jesus has done. We never had direct access into the very presence of God, but look at what God has done in and through Jesus. Let us draw near with a true heart. Not faking it, not because it's a tradition, not because everyone does it who goes to church with me. Do we mean it? Let us. Look at verse 23. Let us do what? Let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering, for he who promised is faithful. Let us hold fast. Let us be grounded in our confession, in our faith, in our belief in Jesus. Such that when someone comes to you and when they present their religion to you, they can sound very educated and very fancy, but you can still say, my belief is in Jesus Christ as my salvation, is in Jesus Christ as my confidence to come before God. Look at verse 24. And let us consider how to stir up one another to love and to good works. Based on everything Christ has done for us, how must we live our life now that we have come into the very presence of God? Let us consider how to stir up one another. Christians encourage each other. But even more so in verse 25, let us gather together for purposes of worship, not neglecting to meet together as is a habit of some. You'll be shocked that there are Christians who say, yes, I'm a Christian, but I don't affiliate myself with any church. Yes, I'm a Christian, I love the Lord, I love Jesus, but I don't have a church. Verse 25, it's a command to gather together. Christians, gather together. Not neglecting to meet together, as is a habit of some. Do we have people with such a habit even today? No, sure we do. We do. People who don't just bank classes, but also bank worship service. We do. Not sure we do. People who find worshiping God to be boring, to be a burden. Christian, what are you going to be doing in heaven? Worshipping God? If you can't worship now, what makes you think you're going to enjoy worship in heaven? I'm encouraging you, brothers and sisters, not neglecting to meet together. Let us come to the Lord with confidence and mean it from our hearts and enjoy to worship God. Look at what he has done in and through Jesus Christ. And especially if you're reading this from the background of the Old Testament, where people did not have access into the very presence of God. But with the coming of Christ, that curtain that separated people from the very presence of God was torn from top to bottom, giving you and I access into the very presence of God. And if you find that to be boring, to come to the Lord with confidence, not just coming to the Lord, this is just if you come, but do so with confidence, coming into the very presence of God, because in him alone we find our forgiveness of sin, and we find Christ who has worked our salvation. Dear friends, when we have obeyed the invitation to enter into the presence of God, I want to believe it also changes our lifestyle. It also changes our lifestyle. We can't be the same compared to before we came to know Jesus, before we came to enter into the presence of God and worship God and have that confidence. We can't be the same. And the question is, are we growing spiritually? Am I growing in my love for God, in my praying to God, in my reading the scriptures, in my applying God's word to my life? Am I growing in that? What is so thick preventing you from entering into the holy place? What is so thick preventing you from coming with confidence into the very presence of God? Now, it's a personal question each one of us can ask, because we have some things that bar, that hinder us to come to the Lord with confidence? Is it your bad friends? Well, sometimes we are Christians, we love the Lord, but we also keep a company of bad friends. We still enjoy some things with them. And you find them to be preventing you to enjoy the Lord and to come to the Lord. Every time you feel dragged backwards. I'm asking this question. What prevents you? What is so thick preventing you from entering the Holy of Holies? Is it your friends? Is it your family? Is it your addictions? Look at what the Lord has done to free us, to give us access into His very presence, Jesus Christ, faith in Him. And He says, well, if you love me, you'll obey me. We can't get crushed into the holy presence of God. And sometimes you may think, well, I'll become serious with things of God at some later stage, not now. Now I'm a youth, and now it's time to enjoy myself and my life. Remember what I said, that you can't get crushed into the holy presence of God? You'll be deceiving yourself. You might be a successful somebody to get crushed into parties, into feasts, and all that, but this invitation to come into the very presence of God is only for believers. Not even Moses by himself could have crushed into God's presence. And so, beloved, we are here formally invited to enter the holy presence of God, to worship Him. And our confidence is not in ourselves. If you begin to look into yourself, I'll be the first one to raise a hand and to say, I haven't got confidence to come into the presence of God. Hallelujah. Amen. Confidence is not in us. It's not in me. It's not in what I've done. It's not in what anything that is found in me. Confidence to come into the presence of God is in Jesus Christ. When you begin to look into yourself, you haven't got confidence. When you begin to look at Christ, there lies your confidence to come into the presence of God. And when we respond to this glorious invitation, the presence of God in our life would obviously cultivate a new lifestyle as we wait for the second coming of Jesus Christ. We would be people that love to worship Him, to sing songs to Him, people that love to be in His presence, people that love to hear from God. May He help us by the power of the Holy Spirit. In the name of the Father, Son, and of the Holy Spirit, we pray. Amen. Amen. Father, it's to You only that we come, not based on our merits, but on everything You've done for us in and through Jesus Christ. What a miracle it is for us sinful people to call upon Your name and to enjoy to sing a song to You and to enjoy to listen from Your word. What a miracle it is, O God. What a miracle it is for us to seek to worship You. And God, we pray that You may graciously grant us confidence to come into Your very presence. Because in and by ourselves, we haven't got that confidence. We haven't got even the willingness to hear from Your word, to worship You. But in and through Jesus Christ, we say thank You for this miracle, that now we desire to open Your word, to be nourished spiritually, that now we find our contentment in You, our joy in You. Please, God, tune our hearts, cause our minds to love You, to find you interesting, enjoyable, and never a burden. I pray that our worship would be with confidence. I pray that our prayers would be with confidence. Our reading the scriptures and applying your word to each one of us would be with confidence because of what you've done for us in Jesus Christ and because of the faith you have given us to believe in your dear Son, Jesus. Please, Lord, we pray that you be with each one of us and for the rest of this day. We pray that you'd be with each one of us even in our studies, our preparation for ministry. I pray for my dear brothers and sisters that, Lord, you'll continue to work in them to ignite their love and their passion for Christ, that, Lord, they'll become sharp instruments in your kingdom. And all these things we pray not because we demand them, but to the honor and glory of King Jesus. Amen.
Amen.